All right. Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:01. We have our guest, Angie Flickinger, in the studio today to talk about the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. So call in anytime during this program to ask her a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Angie, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I love to be on KSDK.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. Tell me, what is the mission of Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition?
It's a mouthful. Yeah, so we call it SOC for short because SOC. It's such a long name.
Okay.
And this, it's always an interesting explanation as well. SOC is a pretty, it's a far-reaching organization. So we, at the core, are a coalition of community-based groups who are working toward the wise management of our region's watersheds. Our technical, mission statement is to inspire Southeast Alaskans and support community organizations working toward the wise management of our watersheds. So really, SOC started, there were three watershed councils, one in Juneau, one in Haines, and one in Skagway, who came together and said, we are all doing really similar work in our communities. We're competing for the same resources and funding. Why don't we band together and make our efforts stronger? And so that was, I think, the coalition originally formed in 2008 and has since grown quite a bit to be its own nonprofit organization. We now have an office in Juneau, and then we work with community-based groups throughout the region. So we have watershed councils that we work with. We work with municipalities, tribal governments, community organizations, all sorts of things. So at the core, it's sort of collaborative solutions to watershed management and mm-hmm. try to make sure that communities have a voice at the table and that they have the information and resources that they need to have an informed voice to be part of managing their resources.
Okay. And then that sounds great. Give me a sense of, like, I guess in my mind, I'm thinking the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation should be their job. Why is there a need for to get the tribes involved, the municipalities, these community organizations?
Yeah, really the coalition sort of sprung out of that gap that there wasn't sort of a key facilitator or a network hub. A lot of these different entities do communicate with each other on sort of their own level. But, Southeast Alaska has so many, I think we have 33 communities in our region, and we're all on different islands. We're geographically isolated. Living on Wrangell, you can feel pretty isolated, but it's good to know that there's other people out there doing similar things and to have that sort of network to share information and resources. And so there is a lot of collaboration that does occur already between some groups, but I think we identified this need for sort of a greater effort to pull in the Forest Service and, like you said, DEC or other state agencies. So SOC's really, I think, grown into that capacity to sort of be a network facilitator and keep a lot of these folks connected and talking to each other so that we're not duplicating efforts, mm-hmm. so that we are sharing information.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
And what do you do for SOC?
What do I do? So I currently work as a Wrangell project coordinator. So I work on local projects in our community. I also do some communications work for SOC. I've pretty much run the gamut. This is going on my sixth year with the organization, and I have moved through a lot of phases. We had our main office was here for a little while before it moved to Juneau. Wow. So now I've kind of stepped out of a lot of the higher level coordination stuff and get to just work on Wrangell based things, which I really like.
Okay, perfect. And before we get to, the projects, why are you involved?
Why am I involved? Like I said, initially became involved with the organization to do some communications work and helped sort of spread the word, help pull some of these community groups together and get people talking to each other. And I'm just really passionate about the work. It's been really cool to see over the last 6 years what communities are doing, what sorts of collaborative solutions they're coming up with to manage their resources, whether it be a local fishery or a stream that needed cleaned up, or, there's even some sort of thinking ahead projects. Our watershed council in Juneau has done a lot of like rain garden infrastructure work where they're building rain gardens that filter off pollutants from parking lots. So it's like before a stream gets damaged or degraded too far, what are some things that we can do to help mitigate that mm-hmm. and sort of live in an urban area and also have thriving and healthy watersheds at the same time? So I'm involved because I think it's really important. And I think that, you know, as communities, like we are the people who are using these resources, like we live among our watersheds, we live within them. They're such a key part of our lives in Southeast Alaska. And so we should be part of having a say in how they're managed, whether that's development or resource use or whatever the case may be. And that we should have the tools at our disposal to do that in an informed way.
Absolutely. This is grassroots.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much as grassroots as you can get. So, which is cool. I mean, that's where I love to work.
And give me a sense of, you know, when was the moment or event that made you realize, like, this is important? This is something I care about.
Yeah. I don't know if it's one moment or one event. I mean, mm-hmm. this has always been something that I've personally been passionate about. But I think it's just every time I get to visit a community or work at the community level, whether it's in Wrangell or if I'm traveling to other places in Southeast and just learning about things that people are concerned about or interested in or sort of where their priorities lie, like that's always what lights a fire for me. Because each community is so different. We face a lot of the same challenges, opportunities, but every community has its own flair and sort of its own personality and things that are important to them. And so it's really cool to work one-on-one with the folks who are on the ground doing these things and to learn about like what makes them tick, and then how we can put projects on the ground that do create solutions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so important that, you know, that the communities dictate what is important to them.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's really the core of what we do and sort of what we believe in, what drives our work.
Okay, it's great. So, yeah. I mean, it's obviously an environmental mission, but it's a community grassroots mission.
It is. And so I think, like, our organization's been in sort of a unique position in the region because we don't really think of ourselves as like a conservation organization. Uh-huh. I mean, we're dealing with watersheds, so that's sort of environmental in itself. But we're a little more solution focused and try to develop tools so that we can have development in a sustainable way and we can also have healthy watersheds. Like we can try to find ways, all of those boxes. Like our communities are going to keep growing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like we're going to expand and develop and, mm-hmm. you know, do more things. We're going to use the resources in our region. So we want to be part of doing that in a wise and informed way.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. If you are just now tuning in, our guest is Angie Flickinger. You know her. You love her. You should call in and say hi.
You might, or you can call in and yell at me, whatever. No, we love to hear from you. And I think, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the local projects here. So maybe folks have questions on those too. We'd be happy to chat about.
Yeah, absolutely. So call in. That number is 874-2345. And we're going to go to a short break. And yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about local projects. All right, if you're just now tuning in, our guest is Angie Flickinger. She's here to talk about the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition.
Yeah.
That is a mouthful.
It's a lot. Sock. Talk on the rock with sock.
Perfect. Yeah. I love it. Okay. All right. So we talked about the mission of Sock, but let's go into what is actually being done.
Yeah.
What are some past projects that you're seeing results from?
Yeah, it's a little bit easier to understand what we do when we can talk about what we do. When you try to explain it from this macro level, it's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
I'm fortunate to have been part of a lot of really interesting sort of regional projects. One recent one, it's still ongoing. It's still growing and developing. I'm being harassed by a local in the studio. So you can come up and ask us questions too if you want to, live in person. But one really, really cool project that we were part of and helped develop with several partners throughout the region is this regional food hub. We do some sort of local foods work. Some of our watershed councils have started their own local programs, doing like community gardens, taking over farmers markets and growing those in their community and doing different things with like subsistence foods to, you know, again, where we live in Southeast Alaska, we're so tied to our local food system, like salmon. We always go back to salmon. Like that's such a huge part of culture, of history in our region, of economic development. It's in everything that we do. And so this food hub program grew out of a collaboration with several partners, some of our watershed groups. And we worked with Spruce Root, who, yeah, they're sort of a nonprofit arm related to Sea Alaska, but they do a lot of community development work throughout the region. They're a great organization, too. So we developed this food hub in a sense to kind of pull together some local foods throughout Southeast Alaska and create like an online farmers market. And so it's currently, it's based in Juneau right now. And the goal, greater goal of the project is to be able to expand that throughout the region where you could go online and order like, I want eggs, tomatoes, Swiss chard, and, you know, locally roasted coffee. And so you could put together a box and these are all produced either in Juneau or other nearby communities and it would get delivered to you or shipped to your community as a hub. So right now we've gotten it off the ground in Juneau and it's taken off. We're going into our second year. It's called the Salt and Soil Marketplace. And so folks in Juneau can, just like I said, go online. They can pick whatever they want. Vendors can go on and list whatever they have. So you could be like a market gardener growing things in your backyard. You could be a small scale baker producing bread. You could have a, there's like a few little operations that have sprung up in Juneau. In the last year, they're doing like microgreens or growing indoors in hoop houses. So then they pull all of that together. They create orders and there's a drop date and folks come by and pick up their box of local produce. There's fish involved for direct market seafood processors and all sorts of things. So it's been really cool to see that happen and see it be sort of an economic driver, to see the businesses that have sprung up as a result. And to see people get really jazzed about eating local food. Because, you know, we ship so much food up here when there's folks kind of learning how to work with the climate we live in to grow food here. I mean, you know, our even our own local Dixie Booker, who just won the Path to Prosperity, to do something like that, to pull together a local food growing operation. So it's cool to see that sort of trickle out when you create these new opportunities. People want to get involved.
Exactly.
And get inspired.
So it goes along with your mission in that we are not necessarily a conservation organization. We are this networking like organization.
Trying to connect people to resources.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is a really cool project that, like I said, is still growing and developing. And within that, we've built all sorts of training opportunities, like some direct market seafood trainings in Juneau. We helped coordinate a regional, like small scale farming conference last year as part of that. So that's had a lot of other really cool components that go along with it that kind of help to grow the program. We've also developed a regional stream temperature monitoring program that Wrangell is a part of. Our local tribe, the Wrangell Conservation Association, has gone to several of those trainings and I think are working on putting together a stream monitoring program as well. And really what that does, again, there were lots of little efforts throughout the region of people monitoring stream temperature for climate change purposes to see, you know, are the temperatures of our streams changing? What effects does that have on salmon? Do we have long-term data? And so there are all these data sets kind of in people's drawers on thumb drives, like willy-nilly all over the region. And so we said, like, let's have a concerted effort to pull that information together and to have, you know, conform data standards. So everyone's collecting data the same way so that it can be put into a greater data set and really used by scientists, researchers, whoever's interested in using that. So as part of that, too, we've put on several trainings where anyone who's interested can come and learn how to install a logger in a stream, how to collect the information, how to use it. We're building a database where people can upload their data, and then anyone would be able to go on there and collect that information and contribute to it. So that's sort of a greater regional effort that gives us a big picture look at streams across Southeast Alaska.
Okay. And then what does that look like in Wrangell?
So in Wrangell, I don't think we have any loggers in the streams just yet. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't, we have a science director who this is sort of her pet project and she coordinates that whole network. So she'd be better able to speak to that. I think she's been working closely with the folks at WCA. So like I said, they've gone to a couple of trainings. I think they're working on getting their equipment and then prioritizing.
Prioritizing the stream site. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I wonder what that will be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we'll find out.
Cool.
Soon. So, yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah. And then what else is going on in the Wrangell world?
Oh, man. So I do have two sort of local projects that I'm working on here in town. One has been developing over the last like 4 or 5 years. It's a fish habitat restoration project on Pat Creek. So probably in 2013, a few folks in the community had just come to me and said, like, hey, has your organization looked at the stream? Have you done anything? Have you looked at fish habitat? It was logged, you know, in the, I think, the 70s, 80s, and 90s when it was under Forest Service ownership. And now the state owns the land. So it's kind of an interesting land ownership situation where it's like, well, who, you know, some folks at the Forest Service had mentioned it to me, some community folks. And so we dug in a little bit deeper and said, well, let's just do a watershed assessment and see what does the habitat look like on the stream? What are we dealing with? What are we looking at? Is it impaired? Is like, what's going on? Just to understand the watershed a little bit better. Yeah. So in 2014, we did a watershed assessment. We walked a good portion of the stream. You know, we mapped stream channels. We mapped off-stream channels, like overwintering habitat for fish. And then we did an actual fish habitat assessment on a few portions of the stream where trees had been harvested, like right up to the stream bank. And so what that told us was that, yeah, there's not a lot of large woody debris in the stream, which, you know, when you have a big spruce tree on the stream bank, over time, it's going to fall into the stream. Those big spruce trees get stuck in there and they create really good fish habitat. Like fish can hide underneath it. It creates pools and riffles and complex.
You want that debris.
You want that debris. It's good. Fish like that. It helps to keep the stream, like it helps regulate stream temperature, all these things. It's really good habitat for fish. So what we found is that there wasn't a lot of that as compared to similar streams in the region. You know, we looked at other data sets of streams sampled. And that the wood that was currently in the stream is pretty old and isn't going to last very long. And, you know, on a bigger scale, it's not going to blow out in like the next 5 years. But then there's not a lot of trees on the stream bank that are going to replace that wood.
Exactly.
Yeah. So over the last couple of years, we've contracted some engineers to come in and do some more, you know, comprehensive assessments and come up with some ideas for how we could improve habitat on the stream. And what that looks like would be installing some like constructed log jams, like basically taking a tree and putting it into the stream, but securing it into the bank and making it look natural. And over time, you know, trees move around in streams, but it's going to stack up, create a log jam, and create some really nice fish habitat.
Absolutely.
And so that's a project that's sort of under development. We've gotten to a place, we've developed some partnership agreements with local stakeholders, like the, you know, the state of Alaska, number one, it's state forest land. They're the landowners. So we had to have them on board and we've talked with them throughout this process. And so they're really engaged in the project. The Forest Service has been really helpful offering, you know, support for some of these assessments and just giving us some historical information on the watershed.
Okay, that's great.
They had managed it for a long time as well. And then we've been, you know, in constant contact with the folks at WCA too, just to get to have them be involved. I know we've talked a little bit about, is that a stream that we want to include in the stream temperature monitoring program as part of monitoring for sort of pre-restoration and post-restoration, all sorts of things. So it's still in development. You know, we don't have funds to like go out there and do all of this work yet, but we've been kind of chugging away at developing concepts and getting stakeholders on board. And so over the next couple months, like I'd love to hear input from folks in the public. So this is a great opportunity if you're interested in the project or you have a question or, you know, just want to make some comments, let me know. Give a call now or you can shoot me an email. Find me on the street. And I'm also hoping to hold a community meeting in the next couple months, too, just to, again, provide a little forum to see what people think and welcome any comments or information.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. Now would be a good time to call in.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what kind of information do you want from the community, or who are the kind of people you're interested in reaching out to?
Anyone who uses that stream. I mean, we know Pat's Creek's been hot in the news lately. People care about that watershed. It's you know, such a valued community resource. And it's been great to hear people express their passion or just how much they value that watershed. It's got historical context. It's been a subsistence fish camp for years. There's a lot of history there and a lot of community value. So I want to hear what people think, what they have to say. If they have any input or red flags about the project, you know, mm-hmm. let me know.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are just now tuning in, this is Talk on the Rock, KSDK's local live call-in show. We have our amazing guest here, Angie Flickinger, in the studio. We're talking about the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition and work that's being done in the region and in Wrangell and, you know, in Pat's Creek. So that's pretty important. So we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 874-2345. We'll go to a short break and we'll be right back. All right, we are back with our guest, Angie Flickinger.
Hey.
So call us at 874-2345 to get into the conversation.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition, also known as SAC. SAC.
That's close enough.
Sock on the Rock.
Sock. Talk on the Rock with Sock.
Talk on the Rock with Sock. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a new thing.
Sock. Oh, that's the W.
Yeah. It's such a long name. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, we were talking about some Wrangell-specific projects. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about other projects.
Sure. So another project that I'm gearing up to do this summer is a community watershed assessment. And our organization has helped a few other communities complete these watershed assessments in different capacities. And so I'm sort of modeling this one off of some of those, which have been really helpful. In a nutshell, I'm focusing on sort of the city and borough of Wrangell and a little bit of state land, especially because there are some state lands with watershed resources on them that I think are slated to maybe switch hands with the state. And so anyway, it's just useful to have information on all of these areas. Mm-hmm. And so again, this project sort of developed over the course of several years, as many of these things do, based on conversations with folks I have in the community, with some folks, you know, at the city that I've talked with for various other projects. And so it's just kind of come to my attention that it might be helpful to have sort of an index of what watershed resources exist in this area, what their current condition is, and then any potential projects to improve upon those resources or restore them or whatever the case may be. So a little sidebar to that, our organization has developed over several years and just got approved what's called an in-lieu fee mitigation program. And you can go down a rabbit hole of jargon. Mm-hmm. What that really means is when you develop under the Clean Water Act, when mm-hmm. you develop like an acre of land, if you impact an acre of wetland or some sort of water aquatic resource, stream or wetland, you have to make up for that under the Clean Water Act. So currently in Southeast Alaska, one of the main ways to do that has been through preservation. There are these mitigation banks or organizations who are set up to help developers deal with that. So you could purchase an acre of land elsewhere that would be preserved, quote unquote, forever, and set aside. And so that makes up for the acre that you impacted.
Absolutely. So it's like tax, like carbon tax.
Kind of. That same concept. Yeah. Like you got to give a little to get a little.
Like
I said, there's been a lot of preservation done in Southeast Alaska. There hasn't been a tool to do restoration where under that law, under the Clean Water Section 404 program, you can use restoration, creation or enhancement of an aquatic resource to mitigate for a loss. So we live in a rainforest. Everything's a wetland here. You know, some parts of the country, it's different, a lot of communities run into issues with this because everything's wet. Like you want to fill in a muskeg to build a house. Okay, you have to get a permit. You have to go through this process with the Army Corps. So again, we heard some community need and I identified this issue a couple of years ago that it would be great. We have a lot of watershed resources that are impacted. Mm-hmm. What if we could use that as a tool instead of preservation, that we could restore, we could use funds from these permits that have to yes. happen already anyway under this program, but use them to restore streams, to restore, you can use it for like fish culverts, different things. So we've been developing this program over the years and finally got it approved. And so now we're figuring out how we put it on the ground. But a lot of communities have been really interested in that. And Wrangell as well. You know, I've had some conversations with some of the staff at the city, like, yeah, we run into these issues over the years. We're a small community. We're surrounded by national forest lands. We don't have a ton of room to grow. So if we're having to set aside yes. land as we're developing that can never be used again, that limits us even further. So if we have this tool to restore watershed resources that we don't have to preserve lands, why not use that? That might be a great
exactly.
opportunity.
Yeah.
So again, that kind of hits to the point of like developing in an informed and sustainable way that sort of lets everyone win. Like we can take care of our watershed resources, we can grow our community, we can develop lands, all of these things. So that feeds into this watershed assessment as I plan to go out and just sort of walk, you know, whether it's a stream, identify culverts that might be perched if they're a barrier to fish jumping up. You can replace mm-hmm. a culvert oftentimes. And if you're restoring connection to a stream or to a floodplain, that can qualify as mitigation. So I want to identify potential mitigation projects that then the city or developers could go to and say, okay, I have to buy this permit. I have to mitigate. Can we do this project?
Yeah.
So then the option's just awesome. There. And it's really the assessment's going to create an informational tool that city planners or developers or folks can use throughout the years. And it'll have opportunities. If there are impaired watersheds or resources, we then know about them. We can look for funding, whether it's through grant funding or if, you know, a road's being built and there's mitigation dollars there, whatever the case may be, if funding comes up, we've got ways to use it to help benefit these watersheds.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wild. That's yeah. a ton of work.
It is. It is. But I think it's going to be, I'm excited about it. I love the field work part of it too. I've spent yeah. a lot of time chained to a desk. So it's nice to get out and actually walk through some of these resources within the community and just see like, oh, there are some streams. The state maintains an anadromous waters catalog where they have a crew that goes out and, you know, electroshock streams to see if there's like salmon in the stream.
They electroshock them. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can zap the stream and the fish pop up for a second and then they go back down. The fish are fine.
Yeah.
But it allows you to count them and just see what fish are in the stream. So, you know, we'll take some of those maps that the state has. We'll compile whatever information exists already, whether it's GIS data, other watershed assessments, other things that people have completed, and then kind of ground truth all of that. Go through and see like, okay, mm-hmm. does the stream still connect here? What does this wetland look like? Is that culvert still there? Are fish getting up it? Or, you know, whatever that looks like, but we'll be able to kind of ground truth some of that and then identify any gaps in information or things that could be improved.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great that, you know, it seems like the state has so many resources. These even municipalities have so many resources, yeah. but when you have people on the ground,
yeah,
like that's so valuable to them.
Yeah. And things change over time. I forget. It's been a couple of years, I think, since the state crew came and mapped the anadromous waters here in Wrangell. So yeah, I think it's just always good to see what things are looking like on the ground and mm-hmm. if they need further attention. So yeah, so that project, I'll be doing field work this summer and then we'll put together a really nice pretty report that I'll make available to whoever wants to see it. We'll put it up on the SOC website and share it with the city and with WCA, with the Forest mm-hmm. Service, whoever is interested can have a copy. And I also hope to do a little community meeting after that as well, just to talk about what we found, what opportunities exist, and what's out there.
That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like need people to help you with that? It just seems like a lot of work.
Maybe. Yeah. And I've talked to some local folks too who might be interested in developing some capacity for watershed assessments and things like that, who I might tag to come out with me.
Cool.
Otherwise, you might see me just cruising through town with a backpack and some waders on.
Hell so. Yeah. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be nice. So, yeah. So I think hopefully that watershed assessment then feeds development of future projects. That's kind of how it's worked in some of these other communities who have done them. We work really closely. One of our member groups or member communities is Haines, and they have mm-hmm. the Talk Chinook Watershed Council, and they do a ton of work in their community. They're like a really sort of high functioning, high capacity watershed council who's done a lot of really incredible. They work really closely with their tribe in Haines as well. And they do, you know, they do research studies on Hooligan, on the Chilkat River. They do all sorts of really cool community based projects that sort of meet the needs and the interests of their community. And so they did a pretty comprehensive watershed assessment a few years ago, and they've since like done all the projects they identified, like whether it was through different pots of money. But, you know, they identified a lot of culverts that were not allowing fish to get through, and so they were impacting fish habitat. They went through and like replaced all these culverts. They found the money to do all this stuff. And I think having this sort of official, quote unquote, official mm-hmm. document really helps with that. It helps to bring in partners to get projects done. It helps mm-hmm. to bring in outside funding to get things done. And so it's just a great first step for improving your local watersheds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So, yeah, I'm excited. And again, if anyone has input or questions, let me know. You can go to the SOC website. My contact info is there. It's alaskawatersheds.org. Or you can shoot me an email, angie@socak.org. Or you can call KSTK, 874-2345.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely can.
Chat it up.
Yeah. So, our projects sound awesome. I would love to go on some field work with you.
Yeah.
With my
recorder. That would be cool.
Yeah, we should do that.
That is a great idea. I'll keep you in the loop.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. And then, one last question before we wrap up is maybe you can put some of this work in context and tell me what are some of the biggest concerns for people like you that mm-hmm. Are working to preserve our natural world in either Southeast Alaska or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever your mind is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's a big question.
Yes, it is.
I always go, like, in this work and in a lot of the work that I do, I always go back to, like, the human relationship. Like, this is going to get, like, woo-woo, and people are going to be like, what is she talking about? But, like, humans are part of nature, right? Like, we live in the natural world. We depend on it. We rely on it. We are part of that, and so we can't really remove ourselves. I think a lot, one big threat to a lot of our resources that we see on the ground in Southeast Alaska and, throughout the state, especially to watershed resources, has been this threat of climate change. Like, we see water temperatures are changing. Like, we see subtle shifts in changes, and it's hard to predict that. We try to collect as much information as we can and do as much research to model and understand how things will change. But that's a question mark, and it's just something that we'll be continually adapting to. And changing. And I think, we can't, like, development is always a quote unquote threat, but it's mm-hmm. not really. Like, we're humans. Like, we're going to grow, we're going to develop. It's unreasonable mm-hmm. to say, like, we're going to stop growing our communities, or we're not going to use any more resources, or what. Like, we're going to do mm-hmm. that, and that's fine. Again, I think we'll continue to adapt. We'll continue to do some research, find informed ways to grow and develop and use these things where, again, we can have healthy watersheds, we can have clean water, mm-hmm. intact ecosystems, but we can also continue to grow and develop, like, as a species and a culture, an economy, a community, all of that. So on the macro level, like, those are some threats, but I think there are a lot of solutions. I think it just takes adaptability and understanding, like, gathering as much information as you can about what's going on, and then developing a solution for that.
Yeah. Well, I love that you're solution oriented.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like when you think about the environment, I think it's one of those things you can really lose hope.
You can, but there's so many, I mean, we work with so many great people just on our little, tiny microcosm of Southeast Alaska. People who are thinking years ahead and asking really big questions, and working together. Like, there's such a collaborative. I mean, we see it in Wrangell. Like, Wrangell's a tight-knit community. There's a really strong spirit of collaboration and wanting mm-hmm. the best for the place that you live. And we see that throughout the region. We see it throughout the state. And so there are, you know, people asking the questions, doing the work, and working together, which is huge and so necessary, because none of this stuff can get done if we don't come together. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, there is a lot of don't lose hope.
No, okay.
we live in an incredible place, and we have incredible resources, and really, like, the work that we do, you know, we have a lot of colleagues too in the lower 48 who are dealing with much deeper issues, or more, you know, much more degraded watersheds or policies or challenges or different things, who come up here and they're like, oh my gosh.
Really?
Like, you live in this pristine place, and so many of our resources are intact. And so I think we also have a great opportunity to sort of learn from other places and just make sure that we're taking good care of our communities and the resources that surround us, so that we can live happily and with a healthy watershed for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we depend on them, you know, for so many things. So,
yeah.
Yeah, hopefully that didn't get too...
No, it was great.
Too out there.
A little macro, and then we brought it back.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great. And then, Angie, go ahead and just remind everybody, you know, if there's folks that are thinking, wow, this organization sounds really cool, how can they learn more and support?
Sure. I mean, really the best way is to just talk to me.
Yes.
Like I said, I'm the only sock person here in Wrangell, and have been forever. We do have our core office in Juneau. We have regional folks who kind of work at a regional level on things like restoration or watershed science or different things, who will happily help and get involved in projects. They'll provide technical capacity. They'll help connect you to resources. So if you're interested in a project or an issue, or you have a question or whatever it is, like, find me on the street. Like I said, you can email me, angie@sockak.org. I also work at Groundswell. You can come into the shop and talk to me about watershed things if you want to, whatever. We can talk about it, and I can try and help connect you with whatever information or resources, or just help to elevate that issue to a higher level, or get, you know, garner some attention or some support.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we'll try to keep you connected. We don't have, you know, a cookie cutter or whatever. We don't have a watershed council in Wrangell per se, but we have community-based efforts working on watershed issues. I mean, the Wrangell Cooperative Association does a ton of work locally. They're an incredible resource too. They're doing all of these dump site cleanups. They're monitoring water quality on the river. They're involved in a lot of really great projects as well. And so we, you know, as much as I'm able to, try to check in with their crew too and see how we can help support the work that they're doing, or help plug into resources. So there's a lot of people doing really incredible work around our community, and it's just worth talking to folks and seeing how you can get involved if you are passionate about that or interested.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm always happy to help develop projects. That's my jam.
Cool.
So, yeah, let me know what you're interested in.
Cool. All right. You heard that from Angie Flickinger.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to Talk on the Rock, KSDK's local live call-in show. We'll be back next Tuesday at 1 p.m. And Angie, thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
Thanks, June, for providing a platform for me to talk about all of these things that people wonder about. You don't often get to share a lot of this work, so it's really cool to have this venue.
Yeah.
And hopefully it was helpful for folks.
Keep coming back. We can always get updates on this.
Yeah. Monthly sock talk.
Yeah, I would love to.
That'd be great.
Okay, Angie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody, we'll see you next Tuesday at 1 p.m.